Daf Mem Chesam Aleph, the top of the page, four lines down.
What is the next Masechta?
The next Masechta is Beitza. So the Mishnah on the top, four lines down, says, HaHalel Vasimcha Shmona Ketzah. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak told us that Halel, we say a full Halel all 8 days of Sukkot, and we have Simcha all 8 days of Sukkot as well. So what Simcha, Rashi tells us already on the Mishnah, Rashi's Simcha means Shalmei Simcha, that you have to bring a carbon shlamim, and you eat the carbon shlamim, the meat of the carbon shlamim, that's how you accomplish Simcha. And Halel, Rashi says that when you complete a full Halel, that's all 8 days. How do we know? Ketzad. What does it mean, all 8 days? So the Mishnah says, Milamei Chachayv Adam B'Halel V'Simcha, U'B'Chav Yamtav Ha'achron Shel Chag, Kishar Koyimei Sachag. This comes to teach us that, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? The Torah already tells us, the Pasuk tells us you're supposed to have Simcha throughout Sukkot. So to tell us that even the last day, even Shemini Atzeres, has to have Simcha, has to have Halel and Kavod Yom Tov like the rest of the days of Sukkot. So the one wants to know, how do you know, Rashi explains, how do you know that Shemini Chai B'Simcha? How do you know that the eighth day, that Shemini Atzeres requires Simcha? Rashi continues and says, the whole Loksiv Bei Behedya doesn't say explicitly that you have to have Simcha on the eighth day. El b'shivas yumei achag. We only know about the 7 days of Sukkot. Dichsiv, chag asukos taselacha. And the pasuk continues to say on the side here, shivas yamim. Shivas yamim tachog l'ashem alkech. I'm reading the pasuk on the side now, that you're supposed to have 7 days. And right next to Rashi says is samach lei v'samachta v'chagecha. So on the 7 days of Sukkot, it tells me samachta v'chagecha. You're supposed to have simcha. But there's no mention in the pasuk of the eighth day. So Mishnah's Mechadish does that even the eighth day, even Shemini Atzeres requires Simcha and Halel. So what's the source though? You can't just make this up. So Gemara explains the Tanu Rabbanon, the Ha'isi Ach Samech, L'Rabos Yom Tov, L'Rabos Leil Yom Tov Ha'achon, to come to include the last day of Sukkot. So which is Shemini Atzeres rather. So Gemara says, O Einu Elal Yom Tov Ha'rishon, maybe it really comes to include the first night. Because the first night, we only know Shivas Yom, and we only know the 7 days during the daytime Yerchayim. There's no mention of the first night, and there's no mention of the last night, the eighth night. Maybe it really comes to include the first night, and not the last night. So Gemara says, again, O Einu Elal Yom Tov Rishon, K'shomer Achalak, Ach comes to Chalak. So what does it mean, Ach comes to Chalak? So Rashi doesn't really explain here.
Because Ach is Lashon Miyut.
So it comes to exclude, but meaning it comes to include exclude the first night. That's the point,
right? Chilek. Bederech klal mishtamesh haTorah b'lishon ach v'rak kedei lehagbil et mashmaut hakatuv.
Ach sameach.
חילק בקביל את מצוות השמחה רק לאחד מן הזמנים הללו, והיינו ליל יום טוב האחרון.
So the word ach is coming...
Ach comes to divide.
But then what's coming to include? So I guess ach comes to exclude the first night, and the word sameach comes to include the last night. We're looking for a source to include the eighth night also, though.
חילק והגביל. אם תשאל, ומה ראית רבות אלי ים טוב אחרון להוציא אלי ים טוב הראשון? I think you have to finish the Mishnah, the Gemara. ומאחר שיש פסוק זה ריבוי ויש בו מיעוט, right? שמה נלמד להפך, נרבה ליל ים טוב ראשון למצוות שמחה ונמעט ליל ים טוב אחרון, right? So it answers, מרבה אני ליל ים טוב אחרון, למצוות שמחה, שכן יש מצוות שמחה בימי הלילות שלפניו. הוא מציע לי ליום טוב הראשון שאין מצוות שמחה בימים לפניו.
So I think the idea is that the word ach is coming to exclude one night and the word sameach is coming to include one night. So which is which? So Gemara says, Sumara Isa.
I don't think so. Don't say it. I started that the ach is to separate, to make a difference
right
between the first and then, but correct. How do you know if it's the first or the last?
No, but you still need a word to teach me to include another night, though.
It's ach.
No, ach comes to exclude.
Because the last, when you say ach, which is Lashon Mi'ud, chilek.
I understand, right.
divide vehigbil it mitzvah nivcha rak le'achad min hazmin lo. Only for one of those days, the first or the
ninth. But you have no source to include.
Umar ra'ita le'rabot le'lei tov acharon le'utzi le'tov rishon.
No, I know, but you need a word to include the eighth night, though.
So that's what he asked. Umar ra'ita
le'rabot. So the word sameach. No, the next question is a different point. We have the pasuk is ach, which excludes one night, and the word sameach includes one night. Now we don't know which words being, which day is being included, which day is being excluded.
It's not. I don't think it's included or excluded.
Yeah, it has to be.
Last, which one you refer
phrase,
to?
The last phrase of the last phrase of the
it's Gemara. Not that excluding Lord.
No, but
which
it's exactly what it says.
Marve
ani lele yom tov acharon sheken yesimcha lefanav.
She yesh simcha lefanav.
That's sameach. Umotzi ani lele yom tov acharon.
The days be after, not the day, the first day.
Right. Umotzi ani lele yom tov harishon she'ein simcha lefanav. Meaning that he
took out.
Right.
Therefore, the ach is for the last one.
No, the ach words, as you said, means to divide, right? So we're cutting off the first night. But you still need a source, because the pasuk never says, how do you know that the last night, the eighth night, is included? There's no source for that. If only ach tells me to knock out the first night.
So how do you know?
The word it says ach sameach.
For the for the last night.
No, here it is. The word ach comes to exclude one night. The word sameach comes to include one night. We don't know which is which.
Maybe. It doesn't say it.
It does. That's what it says.
In the art school, it doesn't say it.
So then we're fine.
The sameach is the last one.
That's how we have Rav Yonah.
Okay.
So once we have that, though, well, how do you know which night is included, which night is excluded? That's the Gemara asks now. Mar ro'yisa l'rabos l'il yom tov achron. What tells me to include the first night? U'lahotzi b'lil yom tov rishon. And to exclude the first night. How do you know which is which? So that's what the Gemara says, because there's a svar now which tells me it makes sense to exclude the first night and to include the last night. How? So Gemara explains, Mar bandi leil yom tov achron. I'm coming to include the last night through the word sameach. I'm adding in she yesh simcha lefanav, because it has simcha prior to it, so it makes sense to add simcha onto what simcha already exists. And motzi ani leil yom tov rishon, I'm going to exclude the first night. She ain't simcha lefanav, because it has no simcha prior to it.
What does that mean? That it needs a separate pasuk for the first night, or that there is no mitzvah simcha the first night? There is a mitzvah simcha. So what's trying to say? That's what I don't understand.
No, on the first night, I think there is no mitzvah simcha. I think
because
so.
You don't say halal.
I'm not sure why. It could be the fact that, no. It's simply because we have no psukim about it. We have no psukim about the first night. We don't say halal at night any times during Sukkot. It's only during the daytime we mention halal.
Yeah.
So I don't think the fact that there's no halal on the first night that we don't have simcha, it's simply because there's no pasuk that tells us there's simcha.
So that's how it is. It's still strange, no?
Yeah, so the footnote here in mine says, what comes out is there's no mitzvah of simcha the first night. Okay. The Shagas Arya says, there still is a mitzvah of simcha midivrei chachamim, though. Midivrei chachamim, there is a concept of simcha, but midiraisa, there's no simcha on the first night.
It's maskana that there's no simcha the first night, and there's simcha on the... And when we say the last night, we... one second. The eighth day, not the night. We know also from some... Like, we know...
Eighth day also, there's no simcha. Only eighth night.
Okay, so eighth day and first night, there's no simcha, and the pasuk teaches us that the eighth night has simcha.
Exactly.
Simcha refers to what?
Simcha Rashi tells us to have a carbon shlamim, to eat the meat of a carbon shlamim. Right. Okay. Right. It's a little strange to think of the first night, which is usually more important.
Because
Tesvav, you think it's a chova. We live the Gzer Shav from Pesach, so Pesach is a mitzvah, the chiv to have matzah, there's also chiv to eat in the sukkah the first night. But it comes out from this Gemara, there's no simcha the first
where
night.
Where do we learn that yom doesn't include laila, that it's specific when it's light?
So there's a whole, this long Rashi, I think, talks about this a little bit.
That's a little strange also, that they should exclude the night just because it says Yom. Very often we... Normally if it's Shivat Yamim, it includes the night.
Yeah.
And the first night of Pesach, we do say Hama.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not what Din Simcha, that's a different halacha. Tosos, a couple of weeks ago, spoke about that. Only some have the minhag to say it in Shul, but at the Seder, the reason why we say Halal there, according to some Rishonim, is simply because we're supposed to reenact... relive Yetzias Mitzrayim, so when we're reliving that, we have to say this spontaneous halal, we're feeling the excitement, it's a spur-of-the-moment type of halal, even though it's in the Haggadah, it's meant to be a spur-of-the-moment, this excitement's there, and not a regular type of halal. It's a unique type of halal.
Like saying Shriach Yanam on the Shuk.
Okay. So then the next Mishnah teaches us, Sukkah Shiva Ketan. How do you have sukkah? What do you do with the sukkah 7 days? So we know in Eretz Yisrael, there's sukkah 7 days, and then the eighth day is Shmiyat Seres. So what are you supposed to do on the seventh day when sukkah is over? So remember, all your kelim, you're supposed to bring all your kelim, your chairs, your tables, your best clothing, your best tablecloths out to the sukkah. But now that evening, on the seventh day, you're supposed to have everything prepared for Shemiyat Seres, though. So at what point do you start changing over from sukkah into the meal inside your house? So the Mishnah says, sukkah shiva ketzad. Gamar mile'echel, you complete your meal, your lunch on Hoshana Rabbah. Now it's seventh day, Hoshana Rabbah. You finish your lunch. Lo yater sukkah, so don't undo your sukkah. Don't destroy the entire sukkah. Rashi explains why not. And see, Rashi, this is the second narrow line up. Lo yater es sukkah, so lo yater agadim shela l'sochra. Don't l'sochra. Don't undo all the ties to destroy your sukkah. The entire day of Hoshana Rabbah still, if you not want to take a nap, or if you want to learn, you still have to go to the sukkah. If you want to eat a meal in the afternoon, you have to eat it inside the sukkah. So don't undo the entire sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah. But the Mishnah says, you're supposed to take all your kelim out after mincha time. Rashi explains, what does mean kelim? All the various tablecloths and the sheets and everything you used that were in there, you could start taking them off. And Rashi says from the Mishnah we saw earlier, you have beautiful kelim, you bring all your nicest kelim and clothing and tablecloths to the sukkah. You're supposed to remove it now after Hoshana Rabbah hits mincha time. After you daven mincha, start taking not the tables yet, and don't undo the sukkah, but start taking the tablecloths and bringing them inside. You're starting to transfer over, the transition day.
Interesting that it's not Hanukkah, right?
Well, it's Hoshana Rabbah, it's Chol Hamoed.
Right.
So it's not an issue of Hanukkah. And so Rashi explains, what's the reason, though, you do all this? The Mishnah explains why.
In Israel, it's Hoshana Rabbah, it's Chol Hamoed, so it's not Hoshana Rabbah and Simchat Torah is biyachad.
Neshmiat Seres and Simchas Torah is the same day. Yeah, Chol Hamoed, last day. Right. And why do you do all this, explains the Mishnah? Mipnei Kavod Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. Kavod, as part of Kavod, you're supposed to honor the Yom Tov before, on Erev Yom Tov, you're supposed to start doing the Kavod and preparations for it. That's why you start doing the preparations before.
So in America we have 9 days. In Israel we have 8 days.
Yeah.
Correct. So Gemara says, "Ein lo kelim lahorid mahu." Let's say the person doesn't have any kelim to remove from the sukkah. Gemara says, "Ein lo kelim." How does he have no kelim? Elaki shamish b'mayi shamish. If he had no kelim, so what did he use in the sukkah in the first place? So it didn't mean ein lo kelim. El ein lo makum lahorid kelim. Let's say he has no place to remove his kelim to. Rashi explains, "Ein lo makum acher lechol sham." He has no other place to eat. His house is so full, he has all the rooms, everyone knows grandchildren over, and they're sleeping in the dining room, in the living room, and there's no place to eat inside. Everyone has beds there. So the only place for him to eat is really on his deck outside in the back. So, and it's supposed to be a nice day out on Shemiyat Seres. So what's he supposed to do? He has no place to move his kelim inside to start eating inside. His house is packed. So what's he stuck eating outside on the deck? So what's he supposed to do? How is he supposed to distinguish his sukkah now into Shemiyat Seres type of meal? So the Gemara says, Mahu, what are you supposed to do? So Rabbi Chiya Barav Amar Poches Bar Arba. You take off 4 tefachim of the schach, this way disqualifying the schach. And Rashi explained, because if there are 4 tefachim, they have airspace, the schach is pasal. So now I'm sitting in a pasal schach, so I just have my meal here in Shemiyat Seres. That's my kavod of Shemiyat Seres. I'm not sitting in a sukkah, I'm just sitting outside. That's what you're supposed to do according to Rabbi Chiya Barav. Rishu ben Levi suggests, Amar Malik Basaner, you light the candle, put the light a candle in the sukkah. And the Gemara explained to us, we saw this earlier, that Rashi quotes the Gemara, Malik Basaner, Damrino and Daf Chaf Tesam and Aleph, Shraga Basukkah Ktana Labar Mimitat Lasa. The person has a small sukkah, so the candle goes on the outside, not on the inside. If it's a large sukkah, so you leave the candle in the inside of the sukkah, but if it's a small sukkah, you just leave it outside. So if he's a small sukkah, if he puts the candle inside, that tells us it's not a regular sukkah. It's just heating outside. He's doing something different than what normally goes on. So you see there's a machlokas, there's 2 different opinions of what he's supposed to do to undo the shame sukkah. Either remove part of the schach or place the candles inside the schach, inside the sukkah. And the Gemara says they're not really arguing, v'lo pligi. It's not really a machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shub and Levi. Halan halahu, it's a machlokas us. We in Bavel, Lan is always referring to us in the Bavel, and Halu, and we're on the other cases, them in Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference? So Rashi says, let's look at Rashi's halan. Halan, according to us in Bavel, says Rashi, Libnei Bavel, Shashmini Shalahem Safik Shvi, the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, is really a Safik, whether it's Hoshana Rabbah or whether it's Shmini Atzeres. We're not sure the right day. They didn't know the right days of the calendar. Delo Kimlo B'Kvi D'Yurcha, they didn't know the calendar. Malik Basaneh, so they light the candles, Lo Yivchasenu, and don't lessen the Schach, V'Yivchasenu, and disqualify the Schach, L'Fisha Tzarech L'Yishay B'Mocher. Shmini Atzeres, for us, eighth day, perhaps is Hoshana Rabbah. So we have to eat in the sukkah because today might really still be sukkahs. So if we knock off the four tefachim of the schach, we're sitting in a pasul sukkah. So we have to keep a sukkah. But in case it's Shmini Atzeres, we want to do something different without pasling the sukkah. So by placing the candle inside the sukkah, it shows something's different, l'chavod Shmini Atzeres, but at the same time doesn't disqualify the sukkah in case it's really Hoshana Rabbah. But halahu, them in Eretz Yisrael, they know the Kriya D'Yurcha, they know today is actually Shmini Atzeres, and it's not Hoshana Rabbah, there's no suffix at all. So they'll say, remove part of the schach and disqualify the sukkah, and we're simply just sitting outside, not sitting in a sukkah. So Gemara says, all this this makes sense. The suggestion of placing the candles inside the sukkah makes sense. The Gemara says, ha-tinach, it all goes well, sukkah katana, if you're right. Sitting in a small sukkah. But ha-sukkah gadola, ma'ikla memra, if you're sitting in a large sukkah, which is our custom is to light the candles inside the sukkah where you're actually eating the meals. Some have a custom to light inside the sukkah and then carry the candles inside the house. The real correct thing to do is leave the candles inside the sukkah while they're lit, as long as you have a sukkah gedola, as long as your sukkah is large enough. So if you have a large enough sukkah, so you always had the candles inside the sukkah during this entire week, so what difference are you going to make? You don't want to knock off the schach because it's talking about chutzlarts, and it still might be Hoshana Rabbah. You need a kasher sukkah. So how are you going to distinguish Shmi Atzeres from sukkahs? Ma'ik lemeimer asks the Gemara. Gemara says, "Demail bay mane michle." You're supposed to bring in all the utensils of cooking that you make the food in. Dama Rava told us earlier, in the, a couple weeks ago, "Mane michle bar mi mitalasa, mane mishe bi mitalasa." All the food used to prepare the food or the leftover food, the dirty dishes, you're supposed to leave outside the sukkah. It was bizayon to leave the dirty dishes in the sukkah. But the cups that you use, you can leave in the sukkah. So what you do in Shmini Atzeres is a bit strange, though. By you leaving the dirty kalim inside the sukkah, tells me it's not sukkahs anymore. Because it doesn't have the chaloshem sukkah. It's no kedusha sukkah anymore. Yantif. It's exactly not kavod yantif, but it's disqualifying the sukkah, which is not such a really... It's not disqualifying the sukkah.
But this is chutz la'aretz. So it's really not kavod for yantif to eat in a sukkah that's like that.
So it's very strange.
Or this is meaning to for people who don't eat in the sukkah.
No, this is people who eat in the sukkah.
Right.
We want to. The problem is we're trying to somehow distinguish the sukkah to make it look different than other days without actually disqualifying the sukkah from being a sukkah.
Right.
So it's almost like backwards though. By leaving the dirty dishes in the sukkah, it makes it different than the rest of the days where I didn't leave the dishes in. But at the same time, it's almost disgracing the yantz by eating in a sukkah with dirty dishes there. So it's a very strange suggestion. I don't think we...
Yesh v'shanim ha-savrim she-asukah nifsedet mid-rabanam v'shah she-yesh b'tocha klei achila metunafim. Ledat acherim, ha-sukah ina nifsedet v'kach ila she-asur la-asot ken, v'lachen hachnasat klei achila l'achar sukot hima-ase heiker she-adam ina yoshev sham.
Now, the halacha, I don't think this is the minhag that we do. I don't think we do all this for Shmini Atzeres and Chutzlarts.
No, we really have what I don't understand is that, I think we learned yesterday that the maskana is that you're supposed to sit in the
yes,
in the
we are.
Sukkah, right?
The question is, but it sounds like tomorrow.
According to yesterday, it was only at night, not during the day. It wasn't a whole day. It was only the first night, right?
Only the first, was it, yeah?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yesterday was the whole day. We only eat the first night. That was
depends. Different minhag and what
right,
you do.
Different minhag. So,
I eat even during the daytime.
Oh yeah.
I think Pashut
you eat during the day. You eat the whole meal, or you make kiddush and you go in.
No, eat the whole meal.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think that's a minhag to do the whole day. I thought so.
I know. We ate.
Who is we?
In my family, we used to
which is
make
what?
Kiddush.
Which is Ashkenaz.
Ashkenaz, yeah, from Salem. We used to make Kiddush and then make Adamichi and then go eat the Suda inside at lunch. Some people make only Kiddush at night and eat inside. The Sfard, I think my brother-in-law makes Kiddush in the Sukkah.
He's Nusach Svar.
Yeah, and then goes he eats the meal inside.
Right, the Hasidim don't usually don't even make Kiddush. They just bit and eat the entire Shmi Atzeres, even the Chutzlar, inside the house.
Now what's the pshat?
Against the Gemara. Unclear. I'm not sure the pshat. They must have pshat, but I don't know what it is.
Probably the non pshat.
the Rebbe Mashiach is here, so you really do one day, you know.
I'm not sure.
Didn't say Chabad. He said Chassid.
I know. But you told me you're not Chabad.
Hey, where are you?
That's what I said.
I'm still looking myself.
Just a yid. Okay. So now we're into the next mission now. The mission of Nisach HaMayim. The Nisach HaMayim, the Gemara is going to explain what exactly Nisach HaMayim, how we did it, but what Nisach HaMayim basically was, during the days of Sukkot, Machlokas, how many days of Sukkot, they would take water and pour it on Mizbech, accompanying the carbon tumid. And there's a Chakira, the Machlokas Rishonim, that whether Nisach HaMayim is part of the carbon tumid, or Nisach HaMayim is a separate halacha, it happens to be done during the carbon tumid, but it's not part of the carbon tumid itself, and there are nafkaminas to it. So, what exactly, what was the process of the Nisach HaMayim? That's what the Mishnah here explains to us. The Mishnah says, Nisach HaMayim Ketzed. How do you do this? Tzluchish Azov, you had a jar, a golden jar, Machzekes Shlosha Lugim. It held the amount, a volume of 3 lug. Hayomimale Minash Shiluach. You'd go and draw the water from the Shiluach, from the spring that was down below near the Harbais. And Higi Lashar, so after a person would draw the water from that spring, he would walk up to the Harbais, he'd reach the Shar HaMayim, one of the gates that entered into the Azara, called Shar HaMayim, specifically because that's where the Nisach HaMayim would come through, that gate, therefore called Shar HaMayim.
Specifically because of this Nisach HaMayim, the Sukkot, it created a Shar.
Well, I'm not sure, there may have been a Shar already, and they called it Shar HaMayim because Nisach HaMayim, or they actually made the Shar, but I'm not sure which came first. The Shar came first, or... And then they named it, or they created the Shar Dafka for this purpose. I don't know. But it was called Shar Maim. This is where they'd enter in with the water. And then they got to the Shar Maim.
What did we learn in Yuma?
We learned about the Shar Maim, but I'm not sure if we said they created it specifically for this, or we just called it. We mentioned, the Rashi mentioned that that's why it's called Shar Maim. So then once it reached
the... Shar Zehaya Mekuvan Keneged HaMizveh Mekuvan Keneged Kedei Sheyachlu שיוכלו להכניס את המים בדרך ישרה. So it seems that...
Maybe it was specifically made, according to this.
But see, they put it exactly there, so it's going to begin straight. So it seems that...
Where is he quoting from? That Rashi doesn't say that here.
בדרך ישרה, it's Tiferet Israel.
Okay. Midot. In the Mishnah.
Midot Aleph.
Yeah. Okay. So he thinks that it was made specifically for this purpose. I think this is the only time this gate was used, just for this once a year, when they draw the water. So they drew the water, and he reached to this gate, the entrance into the Azara. So the Mishnah says that Tiku v'hiriu v'tiku, they blow a tikiya, they blow a tru, they blow a tikiya. And Rashi explained because of the simcha, this is a very joyous event here. And then the Mishnah says, Allah b'keves, b'keves, they walk up the ramp of the Mizbech. Ufan of the small, he walk up the ramp. So remember, let's say, this is the, based on make this right here, this is the gate, the eastern gate here. And here was the Mizbech, right here. Here's a little Mizbech here. Goes up the ramp. So he comes from the south, the southern gate Shar Maim, from the south. He walks straight up the ramp here. That's what he's doing. He walks up the ramp onto the Mizbech.
The Shar Maim was in the north side then?
No, the south.
Oh, because the entrance, right, the ramp starts on the south towards the north. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's coming straight from where you are. I think Shar Maim was in the center.
Yeah.
He walks straight there, right up to the ramp.
Right.
To the Mizbech. Then when he gets to the top of the Mizbech...
Well, it seems like the Kotel HaMaravi that we daven gave it was the back of the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Was the back of it. Right, exactly. It was...
very interesting because we always seem that it's the entrance, but that gave the back.
Right, the western wall, it's called the west because this is the east entrance into it. The western wall is the Kodesh HaKodashim is on the west. That's why it's called the western wall.
So when you were in those days, when you looked at the Kodesh, when you went to the Western Wall, you saw only the back of the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Correct. Now,
so the wall now, basically, this is the wall. So Kodesh HaKodashim was where Habayit is?
I'll explain here. This is the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, right here. And then this is the Mizbech, this is the Mizbech HaKtoris, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Kodesh HaKodashim. Our Kotel is on this side.
Okay.
But it's not even behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. Supposedly, the Kotel is like where Harry is.
Kodesh HaKodashim, you see it when you go to the Minarot HaKotel.
What?
Right.
Yeah, the visible part is over here.
Exactly.
Right.
Kodesh Kodashim is like more like the under the... If you go straight to the shuk...
If you go to the tunnels, you'll see
the tunnel, exactly. You're closer, exactly. The tunnel's like... The mosque is like right
you
here.
You have to go. There's a tour of Minaret HaKotel that you have to go.
Yeah, you should go.
Also, if you want to daven, there is a place there that is the closest place to the Kodesh HaKodashim that you can daven. You can say all the tefillin there.
All what?
You can say the whole Sefer Tehillim there. People daven there the whole day because it's the closest place that you can get to the Kodesh HaKodashim original.
And then there's a mikveh. There's also a mikveh, the closest mikveh to the... But that's already... There's a mikveh. It's a hidden mikveh. You have to have connections to get to it. It's in a base medrash on Mekubalim. So if you have connections... then you could... there's a mikveh that's as close as you get to the Mekum HaMikdash. I got to go there once.
Nice guy, yeah.
So okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, so anyways, you get to the Mizbeach, you go up the ramp here, then Panel is small. Then the Mishnah says you turn to the left. Normally we turn to the right, and you go up the ramp always this way to the right. This is one of the few exceptions, you turn to the left before
going
there.
Always make a right.
Right.
So the Gemara is going to say why?
Yeah, Gemara is going to explain how this is one of the exceptions. But the exception is you turn to the left, because to the left, there were Shnei Svalim Shokesev. There are two little pipes, silver pipes that were there. And Hayusham that were there. One we'll see in a second is used for the Nisach HaMayim, one was used for Nisach Nesach HaYayin, placed down there. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shel Sidhayu. No, it wasn't made of silver, it was made of cement, or not cement, plaster. Ela Shayu Musharim Pneim Mipnei HaYayin. And it just became dark and looked a little bit like silver, but it got dark from the wine, but in fact it's really a plaster. So interesting, I saw in the back here a very interesting machlokas. What's the machlokas, whether or not it was actually silver, or was it... was the plaster that turned looked like silver? So explain as follows. The halacha is that you're not allowed to use metal on any of the mizbeach at all. So the question was, were these little tubes, were they part of the mizbeach or not? So the first opinion thought it wasn't part of the mizbeach. The mizbeach, you couldn't use silver. But these little pipes were separate. You could use silver for those. Rehuda felt, no, even these pipes is considered as an extension of the mizbeach. And therefore, even for these pipes, you couldn't use silver pipes.
Where were the pipes exactly? They were part of the mizbeach or they were...
Let's see. So if you, I have a picture here.
That's where they used to do Nisuch HaYayin every day.
Yes. So you see here, the top left, it seems to be on, it's on the Mizbeach, and it goes right through. And the Gemara tells us maybe tomorrow in a couple of days, I don't remember exactly, it goes right through.
So 1 second, so we talk, this is the Shittin, or which, what are we talking about here?
These two holes there. Those look like...
No, but these are kalim. These are not holes.
They look like kalim. I think they're actually the holes, though, no?
There's a hole next to it, it seems. It seems that they put it in the
kalim. Oh, the next, also
they,
next to it. Okay.
The kalim, they poured it into the hole.
No? Okay, so yeah, you're right. So those are kalim. So those, but there are holes, like a little dot in the ground.
Yeah.
It's in the Mizbech. And it goes straight through the ground.
It's interesting to know when they build the mosque over there. What year?
They'll tell you if you go to the tunnel tours. You can even look it up probably on Google.
When Muhammad came to Israel, they built it.
And what
he was actually
Jew?
Never there. It's a whole story. Supposedly it's a whole story. He was never in Israel. You know that they say that he flew there and everything. According to Rabbi Wein, he never stepped a foot in Israel.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Him, it would be Urena.
Right. Yeah.
So, anyway, so we have these two little pipes on top of the mizbeach itself. Then the Mishnah says umenukavim, and they were holes kimin shnei chot min dakin, like small two little nostrils of the nose that were on top of the mizbeach. And then echad meuvav echad dak, one was a wider hole and one was a thinner hole. Kedei shiu shneim kalim bebasachas, this way they both complete at the same time. So the Gemara is going to explain that wine is thicker than water. So water, since it's thinner, it's quicker to go through the pipe, and wine takes a little bit longer. So if you have the a small hole for the water and a thick one for the wine,
so
they'll end up finishing at the same time.
So they had one specific for water and one specific for
wine. Yeah, exactly.
So why would the one from wine look the one from water look
very good?
Look
Gemara asks over? That because based on the very next line, the Gemara says Ma'arvo Shemayim Mizracha. Marvo Shemayim, the west one was the two holes next to each other. One more in the west was for the water. Mizrach Shayin, the eastern one was for the wine. Now, Ira Shalmayim, so Shayin, let's say you mix it up and put the water in the wine hole, or Shayin the Toch Shalmayim, and you put the wine in the water hole, Yatzet Yotze. So they put wine every single day, twice a day, for the Karban Tamid. Sometimes the Kohen didn't know or made a mistake, poured it into the wrong one, so even the water pipe became darkened as well, like the wine. Now, some explain, the Rambam says it wasn't where they switched the pipes. Sometimes they would mix the water and wine together and then put them down as one in one shot. That's according to the Rambam. That's how he interprets this Mishnah. Then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belug Haya Menasech Koshmona. So our Tanakhama taught us that there were three lug of water was used, and Rabbi Yehuda argues that only one lug was used for the Nisach HaMayim.
But the minimum quantity for Nisach HaYayin is three lug.
Well, so he argues, right? According to our mission, the Tanakhama thinks
but
three.
He argues that also yain.
Oh, for yain,
enough or not?
Oh, so I think everyone agrees that yain is three. Look, the pasuk says, "Machlokas whether it's one or three." That's he argues on that mount, and also our Mishnah says that. Oh, our Mishnah doesn't say here, but elsewhere, the Gemara, at least Tainus, says that Nisach HaMayim is 7 days long. Rabbi Huda here says it's 8 days long. Even Shmiat Seres requires Nisach HaMayim. So Rabbi Huda argues on two fronts: one is the amount, and one is
how many days.
And then the Mishnah tells us the famous story with Menaseh Omer and to the person doing the Nisach HaMayim, the one who's about to pour the water. Omer lo, they say to him, Hagbe Yadcha, raise your hand, show us what you're doing. Shepam Achas Nisach Echad Al Gavi Raglav, once the person poured water on his legs, or Gamu Kolam Besrogim, and everyone started pelting him with Esrogim. Remember, it took place in Sukkot, so he did the...
That was the king.
It wasn't the king.
He killed everybody, no?
No, I don't think so.
They killed him.
There was a story.
Not that I'm familiar with. I thought it was just a regular Kohen. It's a Tzeduki. I don't think it was a Kohen Gadol. It may have been, but it was a Tzeduki. They denied the concept of Nisach HaMayim, because Nisach HaMayim has no explicit source. The Gemara in Tanya says, either it's learned out from the... It says, in all the karbanos of Sukkot, they're all pretty repetitive. The same, slightly different, just how many cows, but other than that, it's pretty much the same, but there are a few slight, subtle changes. And doing the extra changes, there's an extra mem, an extra yud, an extra mem in the psukim, which spells mayim. So that's the remez for Nisach HaMayim, the Gemara in Tainus tells us. Others say because the pasuk says v'nisuchehem, implying that there are two nisuchim, there's one Nesach Yain, one Nesach HaMayim. So they're rebazim of Nisach HaMayim, but it's not explicit in the Torah, so Tzedukim denied that this was a halacha. So 1 year, the Tzeduki took the water and poured it on his feet, and didn't pour it down the hole.
It says here that, according to Yerushalmi, they not only did they throw him, but also stones, and they ended up killing him.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it says it's Alpidin, Sheatzdukim Dinam Ke Apikorsim, Shemordim.
Ah, so that's like at Skila.
Shemordim Velurait Velomealin.
Ah, okay. Interesting, Yerushalmi.
Yeah.
How did you get to that level to be there, to do this?
Ah. Now remember, the Baal Sheni that they...
A lot of Kohen were Tzedukim.
A lot of them were
hidden Tzedukim, and then only when they got to power, they...
Well, they paid for it. They paid for their...
Right.
Remember we said in Mesechus Yuma that many of the Kohanim Gdolim never made it through the year even, every year. What?
Baal Sheni.
Exactly. Lishchas Parhejun is called Parhejun. It was like a governor who always changes every single year. That's why they called the Kohen Gadol's chamber Parhejun, because every year it changed a new Kohen Gadol. Someone else bought the position.
It was a big percentage of people in those days that were Tzedukim.
Yep.
It wasn't just a few crazy ones.
Yeah. Okay. So that's happened. Therefore, we say, raise your hand and let's see what you're doing, as opposed to just kind of hiding it. We want to see what you're doing to make sure that you pour it down the pipes on the Mizbech. And then the Mishnah says, K'maseu b'chol kach maseu b'Shabbos. Everything we said above, just like we do that during the week, everything is the same during the Shabbos, except one thing we don't do on Shabbos is Ela, Shayam Mimalim Erev Shabbos. They fill up the water from Erev Shabbos. They wouldn't fill it up on Shabbos itself because issues of a hotzah, of carrying outside on Shabbos. And then what do you do with the water once you draw it? There's a Chavis Shazov, Shenu Mikudashes, Meshiluach. You draw the water Erev Shabbos with a golden jug, but it's not mikudeshes. Because if it was mikudeshes, the halacha is, if you use a klisharis, then if it stays out overnight, it's pasul midin lina. Lina is whenever a carbon or something is laid out overnight, it's pasul midin lina. So only something that's kedusha to it could be pasul. If I just have regular water, that's not pasul overnight, so then that's permitted... That's permitted. So that's why you have to use dafka kli, that's not kli charis. And then what do you do with that water that you drew? Menicha belishcha, you place it in the chamber. But you have to place it covered, as we'll see in a second. You cover the water overnight. And then let's say nishpacha, let's say the water spills out. O nisgalsa, or it gets revealed overnight. Then you have to hayim mimalim minakir. Then you have to draw water from the kir, from the that sink, the special sink that exists in the base of Mikdash. And why? Shayayin v'amayim mugulin psulin legave mizbech. Because if wine or water is left out overnight, it's pasul on mizbech. Why is it pasul on mizbech?
I don't know, yeah. Why is it?
So look at Rashi. Rashi all the way down to the last Rashi in the Mishnah, but it's much further down in our Gemara. It says shayayin v'amayim mugulin. So Rashi explains, Nisgala hainu taima de mamala minakir. If it gets open overnight, that's why you have to draw water from the kir, from the sink. V'loha manasik b'hem. You can't use the water that was left overnight uncovered. L'fisha yayin v'amayim hamugulim psum l'gavi mizbech. Okay, why? The chashinon, there's a chashash. Shema shasa mehem nochosh. A snake may have drank the water. V'eres murav b'hen. And there's some now, some of the venom inside the water.
When a snake drink.
Yeah, the halacha is, that halacha I knew, I just didn't realize that it would also...
But we'll see, it's different, perhaps different. If we have water left out overnight, you're not supposed to drink it because they put venom. It's a sakana for us.
Right.
What's a sakana for the mizbech? So Gemara says, Nimsa she'enu menaseich mayim kishir shereh ha'eres mashim l'shirim. Because now you have, they drank some of the water and left out some venom. So you're missing some of the shir. You, let's say you drew exact amount of water. Now some of it's actually venom, not water, so you have less than a shear. That's why you can't use it.
So two questions. There are snakes in Beit HaMikdash?
Everywhere.
All over Eretz Yisrael, there are snakes here. Yeah.
How do you stop a snake from coming in, Tom?
No flies.
You know, it's a civil place, you know. Like, it's not like bush and woods and whatever.
Not
a
civilized.
Natural environment.
Not civilized as we have it now.
It's built up.
I'm not sure if they have streets with paved streets like.
And when everything that snake touch, he leave venom like.
No, we don't know. It's a chashash. He might. It's a concern. I don't know if it definitely happened, but it.
No, meaning when a snake drinks, so you have venom in that
one. So saliva or something. Maybe not venom. Maybe saliva.
So either way, so the concern is that it may have less than the proper shear.
Hey, snakes.
Now,
put me in front of a lion and not a snake.
So that's to Rashi. Rashi says you might have less than a shear. Tosos, Dibur Maskel Shayayin. He explains the reason is because he quotes a pasuk, just the last line of Tosos. Mishum Hakriveu Nalif Chasecha. That's a pasuk, Hakriveu Nalif Chasecha. Is this one of the sources we always use, that you have to bring a carbon that's nice and that's presentable. If there's venom in there, that's not something that's fit to be brought as a carbon, that's not fit to pour in the Mizbech. So therefore, that's why it's disqualified. Not because there's a concern of a shear, rather because it's
that makes it's a
right.
Sense.
Okay, so those are two reasons why you can't use my magulim and yain magulim for the mizbech. Gemara says now, no honey, how do you know these words?
Didn't we learn somewhere the ruach hashuva alav? That's why you need you cannot drink on cover.
There's a halach about ruach hashuva alav, right? We did discuss that.
Not
I'm not sure by water being left out overnight, though, was it? I'm not sure about water. I don't think so. There's other halachas like garlic and onions and words I need to talk about. Going underneath a bed. If like food's under the bed, you sleep on top of a bed. That also is ruach ra. So we're asking now...
From food under the bed.
From what?
Food under the bed.
Food under the bed we learned, yeah. Exactly. Like an esrog on an airplane we discussed. So we're asking now, how do we know these words? How do you know which words? Machlok is what exactly the question here. Rashi is, how do you know that you're supposed to do tkiya and trua when you're doing shivas hamayim, when you're drawing the water? Right, and then Tosafot writes, how do you know that you're supposed to draw water from the shiluach, from the springs? So Machlok is what exactly the question is here. Again, how do you know the simcha here, or how do you know you're supposed to draw from the spring? So Gemara answers, Amar Ravina da Amri Kra shafte mayim b'sasom. So according to Rashi, that's mean when you draw the water, shaftimayin, you're supposed to do besasin with simcha. That's why you do tkiya tru tkiya. Tosas's answer is from the second half of the pasuk, mimayna hayeshua, from the mayon, from the spring. That's where you're supposed to draw the water from. That answers Tosas's question. So that's the machlokas how to understand the Gemara here. Either way, they're both in agreement that you have to draw water with simcha and you're supposed to draw water from the spring. The only question is, what was the focus of the question in the Gemara? Gemara now has a very interesting Gemara. There's a lot of probably a lot of panemius here. Maybe David could help us what this exactly Gemara is trying to tell us. But the Gemara says there's once a discussion between two Hanei Trei Minei. There was a discussion between two Minim, two Apikorsim. And one Apikoros' name was Chad Shmei Sosam, Chad Shmei Simcha. Simcha we know is a name. Many people name Simcha. And this is an uncommon name. Never heard of this name before, but Sosam. Someone was called Sosam.
Very popular.
Yeah?
Yeah.
MS?
Of course.
Why, of course?
Sasson? Many Israeli movies with the character Sasson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with the movie
not
character.
Not today, probably, but, you know, in the 70s, a lot of people Sasson.
I know last people. Name, there's Sasson and Sasson. Sasson
is last name.
I assume it's connected to this.
My first name, Sasson.
Okay. So there's a name, Simcha, named Sasson. So the two of them had a little bit of a discussion, argument. Amalei Sasson. Sasson says, Le Simcha. Ana adifnu minuchat minach. I'm better than you. Why is Sasson better than Simcha? Nechsev, Sasson is Simcha, yes, ego. Sasson comes first before Simcha. Samrele, Simcha le Sasson. Simcha says back to Sasson. Ana adifnu minach, I'm better than you, because Nechsev, Simcha le Sasson, la Yehudim. Says Simcha in this pasuk before Sasson. So they both seem to have a pretty good argument. So Amrele, Sasson le Simcha. Sasson says, Chad Yom, it's going to be one day, Shavchucha v'shavichya parvanka. So one day, what does parvanka mean?
He'll be a scout, an advanced
shaliach.
You know, the first one.
Rashi says.
So he says to Simcha that who's going to go out? That you're going to go out. The pasuk says, "Dichsev ki v'simcha seitzeu."
Im Simcha haratz lifnechem leharotchem haderech ve'la'vor ma'av.
Is this a bad thing?
Yeah, because Yom Echad Yazvucha Min Shamayim V'Tered Megdulatcha. And you'll downgrade from your Gdula.
Okay.
V'Titmane Liot Ratz. You'll be mitmane to be Shaliach.
Okay. So Amalei Simcha. Simcha says back.
I guess it's a curse.
Okay, I guess, okay. So that's how Sasson responds back to Simcha. Now Simcha says, La Sasson, Chad Yom, there's going to be one day, Shavchucha U'mali B'chamayim. You're going to be filled with water. You're going to be completely flooded. Or Dichsev. Ushaftimain Bisason, they're gonna pour water in Sasson into you. So Amalei Hahus Mina says back, the Shmei Sasson. So the Mina who is the name of Sasson, he says to the Rabbi Abahu, Asidasi Asidisu, the Timulimaim, La Alma Dasi, Dirsiv Shaftimain Bisason. In the future, Leolm Haba, I am going to be filled with water. So I'm not sure, is this supposed to be like just a bad thing, a good thing?
So you are going to draw water from me.
You're going to draw water, I think, for me. Okay, for me, okay.
You'll be the water boy.
You're going to be serving me, okay. So Rabbi says, Amar Lei, you have a ksiv, if the pasuk said, Lissason, I'll be pouring to you, so you, the commerce, like you said, you were right. They're going to make you, the Sasson, into a pitcher, basically. And you're going to be filled with water. I'm not going to be serving you. You're going to be filled with water. And that ends the discussion. Obviously, there's something much deeper here than what meets the eye here. What that is, I can't tell you. But that's the interesting conversation.
לכן מצינו שלמינים בשביבן התלמוד היה מקום מיוחד שנקרא בי אבידן או היו מתווכחים עם ישראל
עם ישראל
בענייני אמונה וכתבו ספרי קודש לצורך הוויכוחים
המסע ומתן בסביבתן וססון לזכר הוא דוגמה לפירושים המעוותים של מינים אלו שכן לפי תאותם שפשעם, אין ישוב למקראות בין הסורים לזכרם, מי קודם למי. במסורת ברור אפוא שדברי שנת זה עם שקר. וכוונה פסוקים אחרת לגמרי. אולם ישאלו את השאלה, אם דו שיח זה אכן אינו אלא גיבובי סרק של בורים, it's stupid, you know, argument, מדוע מביא את הגמרה? Why it's boring לגמרה? משום כך, יש מין הפרשים הסורים שאלו הם דברי אגדה עם משמעות עמוקה יותר. Much deeper.
So what is it? Share.
הכביס נשת.
What did you say? Keep reading.
הגרא בפירוש לכם הגדול מפרש זאת על דרך הקבלה. עיין עוד שין ואפתף. What is שין שוט?
שאלות ותשובות.
שאלות ותשובות. איפה זה? עמודי אור בשם הדרש, ששני המינים מייצגים את צאצאי עשיו וישמעאל. היין גם הקדמת רבי מנחם מנדל משקלר לפירוש הגרא, על אבות לפירוש נוסף לעניין דברי שאול. רגע. אומנם על פי פשוטם של המקראות, השאלה נשארת עדיין מעינה after you review whatever the place is, the gra, still this שאלה. מדוע באמת לפעמים מוזכרת שמחה לפני ששון? וואי שמחה בפור ששון. ולפעמים ההפך, אין ששון לפני שמחה. המלבים, או החלבן. והוא היה מבאר שהמילה שמחה מגלה רגשת לב פנימית. שמחה, איזה רגש לב פנימי, שאינה ניכרת בהכרח לאחרים. That you don't see it sometimes in others. לעומת זאת, ששון משמע גילוי חיצוני של ששון. It's the outside גילוי of the פנימיות of שמחה. כגון על ידי שיר או בגדי חג. ויש שאינו מלווה ברגש פנימי אמיתי. And this is ששון. That not accommodated with the inside inyan of simcha, the rigsh pnimi. V'nafsho shel asas te'avel alav. Why, why? And the nefesh of the one that just show mipe achutza, from, you know, he just showing sasam, but not inside, so his nefesh, te'avel alav, will mourn on him. כאשר הכתוב מזכיר את שני לשונות אלו יחד, הוא מקדים שמחה לפני ששון. כוונתו שהשמחה הפנימית של אדם פורצת החוצה, ובא לידי גלוי במעשיו החיצוניים. That's the true עניין. When ששון come after שמחה, that's the right way. במקום שמוזכר ששון לפני שמחה, פירוש הדבר שהפעולות החיצוניות של הששון עוררו את השמחה בלבבות. בלבבות.
Okay, fine. So let's go by. We have a few minutes left. Very good. Okay, that's some good deep stuff though. So now the Gemara says we are two narrow lines up. Olo bekevesh ufanu l'shmol. The Kohen goes up to the ramp, turns to the left to pour down the nisach hamayim. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, kol ha'olam l'mizbeach...
15 minutes.
It's 7 o'clock today.
At 7.
Yeah. Tana Rabbanan, kol ha'olam l'mizbeach, everyone who goes up the mizbeach, up the ramp, olam derech yamim always goes on the right side of the ramp, u'makivin v'yordin derech shmol, and he goes all the way around until he comes down the left side of the ramp. Goes up the right side, comes down the left side. However, chutz min ha'ola l'shlosh dvarim, except for people who go up for three things, three exceptions, that they ha'olu she'olum derech shmol v'chozun al'akiv. They go up the left side of the ramp and come back backwards on their heels. They don't go around the whole mizbech. Which are the three exceptions? Ve'iluhin, nisach ha'mayim, they go up to the left side to pour it and come back down backwards. Nisach ha'yayin also, because they go to the same place to do nisach ha'yayin. And the third one is ola sa'of kisharibsa mizrach. The ola sa'of is, normally the halacha is, the kohen goes up to the right side and sprinkles it on the right keren, the right corner. Sometimes they're so busy with kohanim, they're doing the ola sa'of, so they have to go to the left side to do it. So if it got so busy in the right corner, then they go to the left corner. That's the third exception.
Why not to lengthen the path, right? Because you're not supposed to go too far out. Is that what it is?
What's the svar behind it?
Around, or because it was just no space? Because it was just no space. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if the also probably I think simply because there's no space. Right. Then the Gemara says, "Elu shahayu mashchirin." So we said that the Rabbi Huda felt that the pipes were made of plaster, and they became dark because sometimes the wine would go down the wine, and even sometimes the wine would go down the water pipe. So Gemara says, Bishma, the yain mashchir. We understand why the wine pipe got dark from the wine. But this is what you ask, Ricky, Demaya, am I mashchir? But why did the water pipe become dark if only water was going down it? Came in damar mar, ira, shamayim, the toch shayayin, v'shayayin, the toch mayim yatza. So then, shamayim, asid lashchiri. So as we said, since sometimes they'll pour the water down the wine pipe and the wine down the water pipe, so even the water pipe will get darkened from the wine that accidentally went down. And there were two holes at like two nostrils. Leima Masis and Rabbi Huda, Vlo Rabbanim, say our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Huda. And now with the Mishnah of Rabbanim, Rabbi Huda felt that there's one lug of water, and the Chachamim felt that there were three lug. So why does the Mishnah seem to indicate that it was according to Rabbi Huda that said there was one lug? So the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Huda Omer, Belug Hayamanasech Kol Shmona, that he says you have just one lug all 8 days. So what's the reason why you think it's according to Rabbi Huda? So,
מובן שהנקב של היין היה צריך להיות גדול יותר כדי ששלשלת הלוגים של היין
There's a lot more wine.
They both have to like drain at the same time.
Right. So since there's a lot more wine, there's 3 lug of wine versus the 1 lug according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the wine one has to be thicker whole than the water one to make them finish at the same time. So it must be.
What did it say? One was bigger and one was smaller.
It says one was muva.
Right.
One the top line of our Gemara muva ve'echad dach. One was thick, one was thin, because they had different shirim. So Gemara says no, even though they had different shirim. It's why? Because it's either Gemara continues to eat Rabbanim. If it's according to Rabbanim, they should be equal. They're the same shear, 3 lug of water, 3 lug of wine. They should have the same size pipe. Gemara says no. Afil tamei Rabbanim chamra samich mayakalish. No, since wine is thick, it takes longer to go down. Even though the actual amount is the same, the time it takes to go down takes longer. You have to have different shear.
3 dimes.
What?
That's a very good question.
That what?
But in those days, it was very thick, the wine.
Very thick wine,
yeah. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, so, this is pretty logical to say, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rachel v'Katzar, Islay, because even Rabbi Yehuda, one had a long one, one had a short one, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Kishavos Hayusham, Echad Shamayim v'Echad Shayayin, there were two like holes, one was of water, one was of wine.
So where are you?
Continuing the Gemara? So we're trying to bring a proof for this that's logical to say this, because Rabbi Yehuda used a lashon of Katzar versus Rachav. He says the Shayayin Pia Rachav, the wine, the pipe was very wide, and Shamayim Pia Katzar, and the water pipe, the entrance into the water pipe was very narrow. Kadeshu Shneim Kolim Vasacha Shmamina, to tell me, to teach me that they're both supposed to finish up at the same time. So how is this a proof for us? We're trying to prove to us that.
Why? Because here it doesn't say bigger or small. It says higher and low. Where is the place that it says that?
Thicker versus thin?
No.
Katzar Rachav?
Right.
So the Brisa. Our Mishnah used a lashon of thick versus thin, Muva versus Dak.
Umenukavim kemin shnei chotamim, right? And as Leva Matnitin, Rabbi Yehuda, Belo, Rabban, and it's not Rabbi Yehuda, Mer Belog, Hayam and Asech, Kol Shmoneh Yamim. What does it say that the one was bigger and smaller?
Look at the Mishnah, top line of the whole page. It says, Echem Uva Vecha Dak. One was thick, one was thin. So we said that's Masih Rabbi Yehuda, who has different shirim.
But doesn't it say in parentheses, which you know how to read?
But you're right, but sometimes we do it.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes you do. The Alf, usually not. But the gears on the side here said it should be echad. And not ve'echad, it should simply be echad. Not ve'echad, just echad. So one's thick, one's thin. So the Gemara says, really, our mission is Rabbanan. And since the wine is thicker, we need a thicker pipe. And the Gemara is trying to bring a proof, because we have a brisa that's explicitly about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does not use the language of Muva versus Daka. He uses Lashon Katzar versus Rachav. So the fact that he used different language tells me that he's not the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah used Lashon Muva versus Daka. Must be a different author of our Mishnah.
How do we translate Muva and Daka?
Thick versus thin. Versus short
just
and
wide. The Lashon, they say it's not? Yeah,
that's what it sounds like. It's strange. It seems to be saying the same idea, just...
Right.